Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres play in Texas, wrapping up the pre-All-Star portion of the season. And our host, Jesse Agler, is here, and he will not be relying on his staff to help give you the first half of the season stats.
Blooper, how many games under 500?
What?
Okay. Helpful. Very helpful. Best in the business.
We've also got Bill Center in studio, who's accomplished many things in his long career, including this and that and so forth and so on.
50 years of really hard work in this business, and I'm best known now for one word delivered at the prodding of you. Yeah!
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Bill Center.
So, like, for the first time in a week, we got a win to talk about. All right. Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Beautiful Sunday in San Diego. What other big league city affords you a view of an aircraft carrier from the ballpark? I don't know that there's another.
Between two high-rises.
Between two high-rises, yeah.
That's a great shot. I love that shot.
Nice job, Blooper. We found what you're good at.
Right.
Yeah.
Got something done right.
Yeah. We're here at the AMR studio at Petco Park with you for the next hour. Final game before the All-Star break. My, how time flies. Seems like just yesterday we were in Peoria, Arizona.
Right.
Doing spring training, and here we are at the halfway
point.
Sitting
on a back patio with the wind blowing on a very cold morning.
Yeah, it was cold a little bit, and then it got very hot.
Right. Then trying to make it look like, oh, this is spring training, it's nice and warm as we froze to death.
We're all bundled up.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
We were taping a show, and like I was wearing long underwear. I was like, oh, beautiful palm trees and cacti. But yeah, here we are. Last game before the All-Star break. Tyson Ross will be on the mound for the Padres against Giovanni Gallardo of the Rangers. And like we said, man, first time in what feels like forever. We've got a win to talk about. And this was not just any win for the Padres last night. So we'll dive into that. John Conniff, who writes for Mad Friars, covers the Padre minor league system in depth, will join us. I believe he is in El Paso. Travels around to see the different minor league affiliates. He's been checking in on the Chihuahuas, the AAA affiliate of the Padres. He'll join us coming up in about a half an hour. We'll take your questions and your comments as the show goes on. On Twitter, you can join us using the hashtag PadresSH. You can also chat with other fans live at Padres.com/socialhour. And every once in a while, we pull a question or a comment from there to discuss things as well. So a lot is going on. Still the trade deadline talk. People are upset that the Padres aren't having a fire sale, it seems like. That's Twitter this morning. Is that they want a fire sale.
Oh.
A couple of days ago, everybody was relieved that it didn't sound like there was going to be a fire sale. Now the crowd apparently caught up on the news from 3 days ago that wants a fire sale is doing their thing. So maybe we'll address that coming up in a little bit as well. But
can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Having lived through one, you do not want it.
Yeah, yeah. It's not an automatic recipe for future success.
No.
I feel like we should know that by now.
Right.
Not to say it can't work. And the Astros are a great contemporary example of a bone bare takedown paying dividends.
But look at what happened to the Astros a couple of years while they were going through that. Attendance just plunged. People stopped caring.
Yeah.
It was terrible. You don't want that.
And even if you do want that, and even if you're okay with that, I should say, there's no guarantee that you're going to do what the Astros are doing this year, which has come out of relative nowhere. To win a bunch of games. But we'll talk about that later. I want to talk about the win because finally.
Absolutely.
6-5 last night. It was one of those games where I think there were about a half dozen moments where you said, oh, that's it. They got no shot.
I agree. I have done that several times.
And one of them came in the top of the ninth inning just before Solarte's home run. Pinch runner Andrew Cashner tries to make the aggressive play on the base paths, trying to go first to third on a ball hit to left field by Melvin Upton. It had just become a one-run game. It's now 5-4 with one out, and he's thinking to himself, all right, I got this play in front of me. I trust my speed, and hey, I'm the tying run at third base with one out, but then he's out.
Right.
And you said, well, there you go. That's the very end of it, and who would have thunk that right after that, Yonhervis Solarte would hit a two-run homer to not only tie the game, but put the Padres ahead.
You know, I was when Cashner got thrown out, I must admit, I was like, oh, not again. And then Solarte, great swing. And he's been he and Kemp, since the 25th of June, have been the two most productive hitters on this team by far.
Matt Kemp, let's say something about Matt Kemp real quick. Matt Kemp has had a disappointing first half. There's no other way around that. But he's still been one of the more productive guys on this team. And I feel like nationally, like Jason Stark wrote something the other day, and maybe it's tongue-in-cheek. And look, Kemp had a two-run homer last night. A lot of his RBIs have put the Padres in front. He's probably the fourth, maybe fifth best player offensively for the Padres this year, depending on how you want to measure that. Jason Stark wrote the other day about how he's the least valuable player in the first half in the National League. And I get what he's saying, maybe as compared to what the expectations were. Certainly when you factor in the team expectations and the team record, it's obviously been a disappointing first half for the Padres. But I think it's like he's got kind of become this easy guy to pick on
right.
around baseball. And again, has it been disappointing in the first half for Matt Kemp? Absolutely. But like he's still been one of the more productive guys on this team. And I feel like it's become a little bit too easy for people to pick on Matt Kemp.
Right.
I just want to throw that out
and
there.
And recently, he's picked his game up.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I mean, it is getting better. He's got 8 home runs now. That's not where he wants to be.
Sure.
But 7 in the last 32 games, 4 in the last 15. His game has been picked up over the last month.
Absolutely. So, again, I'm not making apologies for Matt Kemp's first half. I'm disappointed by Matt Kemp's first half. But to suggest that he's been the least valuable player in the National League through one half of the season, I think, is kind of ludicrous. I doubt that Stark was being that literal about it. You know, I think he was trying to make a larger point about the Padres' struggles. But, I mean, the guy has produced some. The number is not anywhere near where we would like, or I'm sure he would like, certainly where A.J. Preller would like. But the guy's produced.
Right.
The guy's produced more than most people on the Padres.
And a stat, 21 of his hits this year have driven in runs that put the Padres ahead in games.
That's like one of the highest totals in the National League, right?
Well, ties for the major league lead.
There you go. There you go. So that's value.
I mean, so there's nobody else in the major leagues who have had more hits that put their team ahead.
It's kind of interesting when you look at this losing streak, right, that they snapped last night. Padres had lost 6 in a row. And basically all of those losses were one-run losses. I know they weren't exactly, but there was the one in Pittsburgh that may as well have been a one-run loss, right? They tacked on late, the Pirates. And the offense really was absent for those games against the Cardinals and against the Pirates. And in the first game against Texas, you didn't get enough from the bats. And I think that has sort of skewed a little bit what maybe we thought about the Padres' struggles in the first half of this year. Because for me, most of the struggles – we're talking mostly May and June, I guess, right? You can throw late April in there. Much more about pitching than offense. Now, there have been dry spells for the offense, certainly, in the last week is a great example of that. But I think if you zoomed out and you looked a little bit more holistically at the first half of the season, you would say that the starting pitching, in particular, a bigger problem than the offensive production. Now, I get it. The last week, it's sort of been the other way. You've gotten great starting pitching and lesser offensive production. But as we're going into trade deadline season here, and as we're going into, like, all right, what do the Padres need to address big picture, not just here before the 31st, but before next spring training, which includes an awful lot of change, obviously, I think it's important to keep that in mind. That for much of this season, I think, the struggles were more about starting pitching than they were offense.
Pitching and defense.
Yes, yes.
I think that defense, that one of the things they're going to have to straighten out next year is who plays where, what are we going to go with, and we're going with it. And I think that defense and pitching goes hand in hand, but I think those are the two bigger areas.
Yeah, and look, I'm not going to sit here and try and predict what this roster looks like on August 1st. Certainly not what it's going to look like on April 5th or 6th or 4th, whatever opening day will be next year. Because there's going to be some change, and that gets a little bit into that conversation of do you tear the whole thing down, or do you keep some pieces in place, et cetera, et cetera. And as I said, we'll talk more about that. But last night, a fun 6-5 win. Pat Murphy said something after the game that I really enjoyed, and it was just sort of about, you know, when games aren't going your way, and when you have all of these tight losses, and there are little things that are happening that kind of make you go, oh my goodness. He says it's very easy to start feeling like a victim. And he was proud of the team last night because they didn't accept that. You know, they kept battling. They kept fighting. And it wasn't just the Solarte home run. There were big hits before that. Andrew Cashner's pushing the issue. I'm fine with aggressiveness. I am, honestly. Like, it didn't bother me. It was frustrating, and it was unfortunate. But I liked the idea, I guess. I was okay with the concept of trying to go first to third there if you think you can do it. And he obviously did. And he says they didn't accept that sort of victim mentality in last night's game. Even when things kept going the other way,
right,
they kept battling. And that's a sign of something, I guess.
I mean, starting early in the second, pop, they get two guys on, pop up, and then, they, you know, two guys on, nobody out, pop up, out. Yeah, there were a lot of things that were not going their way last night, and they came back. I don't think Shields was close to having his best stuff.
Yeah.
And kept him in the game. And then the bullpen, I mean, Benoit does give up the run, but the bullpen came through when they needed to, kept it close, and Solarte came through big time.
A really easy guy to sort of pass over when we talk about this game, because Solarte's homer was obviously the big, big hit. Kemp had the two-run homer. We'll talk about Craig Kimbrell, certainly. But an easy guy to kind of forget about would be Marcus Mateo. But he played, again, a really big role in the Padre win last night. And for his efforts, how about this? Marcus Mateo is our Firehouse Subs sub of the game. So he's got to come on early, and he's got to get the last couple of outs in the sixth inning, and then he stays in there. And, I mean, this is a guy that possesses some real value for this ball club, and if Mateo doesn't do his thing in the seventh and in the sixth, who knows, you know, what happens down the line in this game.
Because their bullpen had been used up a little bit. I mean, when you bring them in that early, you really do need to get more than two hitters. You need them for another inning. I thought he did. Yeah, I agree with that. The Firehouse Subs.
He is. Marcus Mateo, our Firehouse Subs sub of the game. Make sure to check out the new edition of Firehouse Subs at Petco Park or visit any of their San Diego locations in Point Loma, Escondido, or Encinitas. So Marcus Mateo, our sub of the game. And he's an interesting story, right? In spring training this year. We were just talking about spring training. He was, like, impressive. You were like, oh, this guy. Like, he and Jose Valverde kind of came out of nowhere and were really, really solid. And there was a real shot, I thought, at the end of spring training that Mateo was going to make the big league roster. He ends up getting sent to AAA El Paso, where he was the closer for Pat Murphy and for the Chihuahuas. After the game, Murphy talked about Mateo and sort of, you know, discussed how he's been using him, knowing, obviously, that they had a history with one another in El Paso this year.
Marcus has been sneaky real good. You know, there's maybe been one outing where he wasn't himself, and I don't think he... He had felt comfortable at that point, but right now he's huge, and I'm really pleased. He was like this in AAA, and while we didn't have a conversation, we had a trust with each other that he knew I really cared about, you know, how he went about his business, and he was dominant for probably 25 outings, and saved a bunch of games, did all different roles for us because we were hoping that the big league team would take him. So once I got here, I was anxious to see if we could make that happen.
You know, the other thing about Marcus is that type of a minor league free agent has the option at the end of spring training or very early in the season to say, hey, I want to take free agency. I want to see if a major league club will take me and opt out of where they are. He stuck it out. Jose Valverde decided to take the opt out. Marcus is in the major leagues.
There you go. That's a very good point. And one of those things to always think about at the end of spring training when you run into these situations, because you run into them every year with a guy or two.
And, yeah, and Marcus looked down the road and thought, hey, I got a shot here.
Yeah.
And Valverde thought the grass was greener elsewhere.
Yeah, that's a very good point. A couple of other guys I think that I want to talk about from last night's game, Will Middlebrooks and Craig Kimbrell. We'll discuss them when we come back. We'll also get to your questions and your comments on Twitter. You can use the hashtag PadresSH. That's the hashtag PadresSH. Join the movement to create a world without cancer. The Padres want you to join Pedal the Cause and raise money for San Diego's cancer-fighting centers. You can ride, volunteer, be a virtual rider, or donate to a rider or a team. Anyone can ride, so join Team Padres or ride on your own. To learn more or to register, visit gopedal.org/register, gopedal.org. Beautiful late morning in San Diego. Final game before the All-Star break coming up at 12:05 in Texas. Take a break, come back, talk more about last night's win over the Rangers. This is Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. AMR studio at Petco Park. Padres are in Arlington, Texas, where for some reason in July they're going to play a game at 2 o'clock local time.
Because it's the last Sunday before the All-Star break and everybody's getting out of town.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, why not play it at, like, 10 in the morning local time before it gets too hot?
Or 7 in the morning.
7 in the morning, absolutely. Like the Red Sox on Patriots Day for the marathon, they play at, like, 11:30.
Right.
The Rangers should be able to do that to avoid some of the heat.
One of my first years traveling, I had the game in Arlington. I'm staying down at this hotel that's sort of on the same grounds, just below the hill from the ballpark. And I decided that that. Oh, I'm going to walk. It's the middle of August. I'm going to walk from the hotel up to the ballpark.
About how long, you said?
It's about three quarters of a mile.
Sure.
But it's mostly uphill.
Right.
And then I also forgot that I got to walk back after the game if
right.
I do that. So I decided to walk. And I'm about halfway up there, and it's like 120 degrees with 100 degrees humidity. And then all of a sudden, it clouds up out of nowhere and starts to rain. And then I found out that the tunnel's on the other side of the ballpark. It's not on the near side. So that was one of the worst decisions of my life.
Yeah, no, I would say walking in Arlington is probably not the way to go this time of year.
Uphill.
Rain or otherwise.
Right.
Yeah. All right. By the way, a little bit of news. Pat Murphy told the media a few minutes ago that after the All-Star break, the rotation will sort of recycle. No surprise, of course. It'll be Shields, Ross, Cashner, Kennedy, Despaigne coming out of the break. That's what we would expect.
I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and right now I love the decision of having Tyson pitch the last game of the first half and having Despaigne in the bullpen, which I still think eventually either it's going to be Morrow or it's going to be Colin Ray, that will work out that way anyway.
You mentioned Colin Ray. He'll be participating in the Futures game coming
tonight,
up.
Right.
It's at the same time as our game, which is a little
right.
frustrating. Maybe you got to go multi-monitor here. You got to go split screen.
Split screen?
Maybe you put the Futures game on the iPad or something like that. But the Futures game is at noon, as is the Padres game in Texas. And Colin Ray will be representing the Padres and Team USA in the Futures game. This is a guy that was in minor league camp in spring training this year. You know, wasn't up with the big league club. Began the year at Double A San Antonio. What was his ERA with the Missions?
1.08.
1.08, for goodness sake.
Right.
So obviously you're going to get promoted.
Right.
And now he's at Triple A El Paso, and he'll be participating in the Futures game today. I'll get a little bit more information about Colin Ray and some other prospects for the Padres with John Conniff of Mad Friars. He's going to join us coming up in a little bit. Last night in the 6-5 win, two other guys I want to discuss. One would be Will Middlebrooks. Got his second start at shortstop, and wasn't really tested, but you didn't notice him, which is, I think, one of those things you say when it goes well for a guy out of position, quote-unquote, and he'll be there again today. But sort of the mixing and the matching and the experimentation continues. That's been a theme all season long.
Right. Well, but for one thing, that sooner or later, Myers is going to come back, and if he's I don't think he's going to come back to center field, so he's going to come back to some other position. If Upton gets moved, I would imagine he'll be in left or right, or he could be at first base, and Alonso, you might try him at third, or maybe Myers. I mean, there are so many different things, but I like the idea of at least taking a long look at Middlebrooks at short. I'd like to see him get a couple balls.
Yeah, yeah, get some more experience.
Right.
In-game, real speed. All that kind of – it's going to happen. I mean, you're playing shortstop. You're going to get balls hit your way.
And I think, yeah, and we saw a couple nights ago when he is in at the shortstop position in that shift, how different it is, because he goes back into center field, and let's face it, as a third baseman, he's probably never done that before.
Yeah, a little bit different.
Right.
On that 200-foot sack fly.
Right, and then he should have got – I mean, Upton should have called him off, and if he had known where the center fielder was because he had played there before – he might not have made that catch, might not have been a sacrifice fly, might have been a different situation that game.
Might have been, but I guess we'll never know.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
And that's one of the great – by the way, can I just – one of the things about baseball, you always hear, well, if this hadn't happened, he got a single in that spot. Well, everything changes with every play in baseball. The guy's not going to be pitched the same way if X didn't happen. So I always – I never go to that well of saying, well – you know, boy, if he hadn't been thrown out there, they got three straight hits after that.
Right. For all we know, if Andrew Cashner is safe at third base in the ninth inning last night, Yonhervis Solarte doesn't get the pitch he gets that he ends up driving out of the yard for the game-winning home run. Maybe they tie it. Maybe they don't. I don't know.
No.
But everything is different. You're right. It's a really easy trap to fall into, and I think we all do it. You know, it's just part of the deal. And you say, well, if he hadn't been this, then that. But you're right. The whole situation changes. A lot of variables. A lot of variables in baseball. You're right. The other guy I want to focus on from last night is Craig Kimbrel. It had been like, 8 days since we saw him come in a save situation. And my goodness, was that a reminder of how dominant this guy can be. It was unfair last night against the Rangers.
Struck out the side. I mean, that was his A stuff. And we hadn't seen that domination really from Kimbrel, and we'd been waiting for it. It's going to be very interesting. There is a guy, I think, that you're going to have to make a decision on at the trade deadline. Because if you're out of it, there are going to be an awful lot of teams that are very interested in him. I mean, I've already heard that Toronto has already expressed interest in him, and they've got a couple really good pitching prospects in the starting pitching prospects in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
And they desperately need a closer because they look like they can win the American League East, and they're not going to do it without a closer.
Yeah, that's it. So the Blue Jays are going to have to make some moves. I think everybody's expecting that, and certainly Kimbrel is attractive. I mean, yesterday when we were talking a lot about, you know, the James Shields situation, my take is, look, there are very few untouchable guys in Major League Baseball, and he isn't untouchable, but, I mean, in order for the Padres to trade James Shields, and again, it's something that Buster Olney threw out there yesterday, and he wasn't necessarily citing anything other than speculation, but it's going to have to take a package in return that blows A.J. Preller's socks off.
Right.
You know, Kimbrel, you're going to get a lot, you know, if you try and move him. But, you know, I mean, it's – you don't do these things unless you're in love with what you're getting
right.
in return, right?
Right. And I think that there might be more of a market for – there's another aspect with the Shields thing which may make it more difficult to trade him. First of all, he signed as a free agent. And you might be on a free agent market again next winter. And sometimes if you trade away a free agent that you've just signed, it sends out a wrong message.
Sure, yeah.
And agents are going to use that.
Yeah.
I mean, and other teams are going to use that. They're going to say, hey, you're interested in this guy as a, you know, the Padres are also interested. But remember, they signed James Shields last year to a long-term deal and then traded him away. Makes it harder to operate in that market if you do trade away a guy right after you've signed him as a free agent.
Absolutely one of those things you've got to keep in mind.
Right.
Absolutely one of those things you've got to keep in mind, and that's why it would have to be just like this insane deal
right.
where you pretty much can't say no.
But
I doubt that happens.
I could see Kimbrel.
Me too. I mean, the reality is, you know, we talk about how much they're going to strip this thing down or not. And, you know, if the Padres are going to be a 500 or sub-500 team the rest of the year, they don't have a quote-unquote need for a shutdown closer
right.
the way a team that's in a pennant race might. Now, that said, if they expect to be right back in this thing next year and make a serious run in 2016, and if you read what's being said, well, then you would want a guy like Craig Kimbrel on your team for next year. So, again, it'll be very interesting, and it might give you some indication of how they're trying to go. I will say this as well. With Preller, man, it's like, is there anything off the table?
No.
I don't think so.
You really don't know what he's going to do. But I do think the Padres might already have another closer here.
Ah, there you go.
There's one guy I really like for that role.
Is his last name pronounced differently than it's spelled?
Yes.
Yeah, Maurer.
Right.
Spelled Maurer.
I really like him as a – I like what I've seen from Brandon Maurer. I like almost as much – as I've seen from Kimbrel, I like Brandon Maurer, and he seems to have that type of an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, yeah, that to me, that's what makes Kimbrel a strong possibility to be moved. One,
that's part of it.
You get some salary relief. Two, you might have a guy out there that can do the job. And three, you're going to get an awful lot in return for him.
Yeah. All right. All things we'll be talking about an awful lot, I imagine, the next couple weeks.
Absolutely.
Going to be a busy July.
Yes.
Going to be a busy July. It's not going to be boring.
We're going to be doing this a lot of times.
Yeah, we're going to have plenty to talk about. Right. It's not going to be a boring July on Padres Social Hour. That's for sure. All right, let's get to some tweets. Buddy Ghost of Ray Kroc is very excited because Matt Friars is calling in. He is adding value to the program today. There's no question about that. Talk some minor leagues with him coming up in a little bit. Mike wants to know, as we discuss this shortstop situation, I think it's a fair question, why Middlebrooks – nope, not Stewart. Sorry. Mike – why Middlebrooks and not Barmas? Numbers don't lie. So his question is essentially, hey, Barmas has better numbers than Middlebrooks. Why is Middlebrooks being given this opportunity at shortstop and not Clint Barmas? I've got my take, but go ahead.
Well, I think they want to take a long look at Middlebrooks.
That's it.
He might be, I mean, if you're going to be making a lot of moves and Middlebrooks' bat come around, he might be more of your guy in the future than Barmas is. Barmas is towards the end of his career. I think they just want to see what they've got.
Yeah, I think that's it. You got to see what it's got, what he's doing. You want to see, optimistically, if you can get him going.
Right.
Because he is one of those guys that you expect to be around for a couple of years. You know, Clint Barmas is a veteran. He's a plug-and-play kind of guy. You feel totally comfortable when he is in there on a given day, but he's not part of the next 1, 2, 3 years necessarily. Not to say he won't be here, but he's not going to be a guy you're looking to start, you know, 120, 130, 140 games the way you're hoping Will Middlebrooks is. So if you can play him, test him at shortstop, see if that's a possibility, but maybe more importantly, get the bat going, get him some regular ABs and see what happens. He is kind of a part of the long term, you would hope, if things go well. So, yeah, no, I think that's exactly it. All right, so questions and comments using the hashtag PadresSH. That's how you join us on Twitter. We'll get to more of those as time goes on when we come back. A little bit more on that, and also some All-Star talk. All-Star talk
Rain.
Coming up. Because the game, yeah, that's it. It's going to be a bad weather week in Cincinnati. I mean, what do you expect? It's Cincinnati in July. All right, so take a break, do that, and John Conniff, Matt Friars, will join us in a bit as well. Join the Padres Saturday night, July 25th.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
All right, welcome back. A couple minutes, we'll be joined by John Conniff of Matt Friars. Talk some minor league Padre baseball with him. Back at the AMR studio here at Petco Park, Tyson Ross and Giovanni Gallardo, the starting pitchers in Arlington, Texas. By the way, guy on Twitter, I think it was, who was it? I want to give credit where it's due. Stewart, he suggested the 2 o'clock start in Arlington is so the people can go to church. He says that's a big deal in Texas, and maybe that's why they – I don't know. I haven't researched the Rangers scheduling enough to know if that's a regular thing. All I know is 2 o'clock in July in Arlington sounds kind of like cruel and unusual
right.
to me. Played at 8 in the morning or at night. But you're right, the day before the All-Star break, you can't play a night game.
No, because they got to get out of there. Everybody's traveling. Day games on All-Star break afterwards. After a day game at the All-Star break, you got some guys that are traveling to the All-Star game. They're getting out of town, and everybody else is getting out of town to go somewhere.
Yeah, to go home or to go
right.
To Costa Rica right. for the weekend or whatever it is.
It's like a scramble. If you're not there when the door opens to get a quote, you're run over by players leaving.
Makes a lot of sense.
Right.
These are a valuable couple of days, certainly for the guys that need some rest.
Right.
We'll talk about the lineup for today a little bit later, but Derek Norris not in the lineup tonight.
Need some rest.
Right. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that's 5 days.
Right.
Before his next start behind
right.
the plate.
And he really looks like he could use a break.
Yeah, no, so that's good. You'll see a lot of backup catchers in the lineup tonight.
Absolutely.
Today around Major League Baseball.
I thought we might see Hedges yesterday, to be perfectly honest.
Give him 6 days.
Yeah, give him a week off.
All right, well, he played last night, and they're still trying to get his bat going again as well, so that might be part of that. Speaking of the All-Star game, though, I mean, you alluded to this. 80% chance of rain tomorrow for the Home Run Derby.
Right.
And Tuesday for the game, 80% chance of rain.
Well, they're talking that Cincinnati could be hit by 3 inches of rain over the next 3 days. So that would be.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of rain. That could be really bad. I don't know.
The Ohio River.
And the ballpark's right by the Ohio. Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't remember, and I'm sure it's happened, but I can't off the top of my head think of like a big rainout or a rain delay at an All-Star game. I'm sure it's happened.
1988, Cincinnati, the Home Run Derby was rained out.
Was it?
Yes.
But that was also like before the Home Run Derby became a huge
right.
prime
but I mean,
time
it
event.
Was
it was still
rained
in the daytime. Yeah.
If my memory serves me correctly, and for some reason that just clicked in my mind.
Okay.
That I do remember that, and I'm sure it was Cincinnati, the Home Run Derby was rained out.
Well, there you go. But it'll be interesting to see how baseball tries to deal with all of this. Next year, of course, the game will be here. And tomorrow and Tuesday in San Diego, it'll be like 74 and sunny.
If the Home Run Derby is rained out, we got bigger problems. We got bigger issues than the Home Run Derby being rained out.
Yeah, no, that's true. It'll be very interesting to see how the weather goes in Cincinnati the next couple of days. Although with this El Nino they're predicting, does that mean July rain next year? It'll be over by then.
It'll be over by then. But they're also recently, Noah said that, hey, we're going to probably have more rain during the summer this year than – and we've already had it,
mm-hmm.
but that we'll continue to have thunderstorms this July and August.
Okay. Well, that's good. We got to get Tom Selleck's avocados healthy.
That's absolutely right.
I mean, that's obviously the most important thing right. in the state of California
Tom
right now.
Tom Selleck stealing water. Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right, we'll take a break, come back, talk some minor league affiliates with John Conniff of Mad Friars. Looking for paradise? Maui Wowie Hawaiian presents delicious made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Wowie locations inside the ballpark, at the park, or the Mercado. They are also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Allegedly, Tom Selleck stealing water for his avocado farm.
It's amazing where the different directions this show goes in.
It just disappoints me because I was such a big Magnum P.I. fan as a kid. It's like my all-time favorite show when I was young.
Then you find out that he's tapping into a fire hydrant and stealing water.
Yeah, like, come on, man.
That surprises you about Magnum?
Yeah, it does. He was always a good, you know, get-it-done kind of guy, but, you know, I guess he picked a lot of locks. It's kind of the same thing.
Right.
All right, whatever. Take a break, come back, and talk some minor league Padres baseball with John Conniff of Mad Friars.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. Going to take a quick step aside from the big league team and talk about some guys that are hopefully future big league Padres. Minor league affiliate report, John Conniff of Mad Friars joins us on the Cholula Hotline. John, I believe you are in El Paso, Texas, home of the Chihuahuas. How are things there?
It's great. It's a beautiful park. It's right up there with the Fort Wayne Park Field.
Yeah, no, it's supposed to be just an incredible place. I want to ask you about a catcher, which wouldn't necessarily feel like the place to start when we talk about the minor league affiliates for the Padres, but Rocky Gale has really done some nice things at the bat, Triple A this year. We know about the defense. We've heard about the defense, but with Austin Hedges being promoted to the big leagues earlier this year, it's really opened up an opportunity for him.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people were kind of on the fence because Rocky had a good year last year offensively. He got the most plate appearances he ever did. And they were thinking he kind of projects more as a backup catcher. So a lot of people were kind of on the fence about who to promote, him or Hedges. But Rocky's done real well. If he understands really what type of hitter is, he kind of takes the ball to the field and doesn't try for too much power. And defensively, as you said, I mean, he is, if Austin Hedges is the best catcher in the system, then Rocky's about number 1A. I mean, has a real nice setup. He's very athletic behind the plate. He doesn't really look like a catcher because he's 6'1", 180, but he's a very, very fun guy to watch.
So who are your other prospects that you think that could make it from El Paso?
Well, I think, you know, as you know, Bill, since you report on the minor leagues too, most of these guys are people I think who can more come up and help the team rather than some, you know, giant prospect. Probably the biggest one is Colin Ray, who's in the futures game right now, a 6'5", 220 pitcher. He's got a really good fastball, good two-seamer, and he should be pretty high on the prospect list next year. And then as for position players, you know, Alex Dickerson's had a nice year. Cody Decker's always in the conversation when we're talking about guys. Jake Gilbert, Tommy Medica. A lot of these guys could go on a big league squad, I think, and you know, really help the team win.
John Conniff on Twitter, at Mad Friars.
You know, there are two things there. One, I have a feeling that we're going to see Ray in the rotation with the Padres sometime this year, probably in September. And the other thing is, I just can't figure out what position Decker would play if you did bring him up.
Well, Cody, as you know, for his career, has been a first baseman. And this year when they moved Brett Wallace up, they told him he was going to be the everyday third baseman. And I think for the first time, they actually brought an infield coach to help him out. You know, Cody's not bad defensively at third base in terms of if a ball is hit to him and he has a good pair of hands. Where he kind of is struggling a little bit right now, while we've seen a couple of errors, just getting the footwork down at third. But you know, to Cody's credit, I mean, he's played maybe about three or four games at third before this. He never played there in college. He last played there in high school. So I think the part where Cody could help the team is he's a decent first baseman. He's a better catcher than most people think, and he can play third, and he's even played some corner outfield spots. So to me, he seems like he'd probably be a decent fit on a National League squad. And, you know, he's got some power, as we all know.
Yeah, Cody Decker, I think, you know, for a lot of fans, they know about him because of, A, the power numbers, and 1A, to steal a term you just used, because of his personality. you know, on Twitter and all the fun stuff that he does. But having gotten to be around him in spring training the last couple of years, I mean, the guy takes this stuff really, really seriously, the baseball. You know, I mean, he's not just about joking around. And you see him work his tail off. That's a Chihuahua pun. When it comes to his defense and trying to get better. And even in spring training this year, I remember he made a couple of really nice kind of flashy plays at first base where we saw him a little bit. So, I mean, this guy is a serious baseball player. I don't know that everybody realizes that all the time.
Well, you know, on Wednesday, it was the first night I got in here, and Cody made a pair of errors at third base. And so I had to get to the park a little earlier. And Cody was, when I came here, I think it was around like 2:30, Cody was already out there with the coach. And he had been taking about 100 ground balls and working on his throws. So, you know, he does a lot of things with social media. He's got a very fun personality. But I think you're absolutely right, Jesse, in terms of, you know, he really works hard at baseball. And, you know, the thing about Cody is always my phrase I think I've used, he's kind of consistently inconsistent, is that he's going to go through the peaks and valleys in any season. But when you look at the numbers on a year-on-year-out basis, he's always up there on home runs and RBIs. And he actually has a decent on-base percentage, too.
John, I'm interested. Who are your top five prospects in this organization right now?
Oh, man, Bill, that'd really be putting me on the spot. I'd have to kind of go back and think about that. I think you could kind of go at different levels. I would probably go, if you look at the upper levels, I would probably say Colin Ray, as you said, is clear and head and shoulders above everybody else.
That's my number one.
I would say Alex Dickerson. But when you start looking down at the lower A and high A guys, you see a lot more, you know, kind of projection about what people could potentially be. I know Michael Geddes doesn't have the numbers right now, but he's been very impressive in just keeping his head above water. Rudy Giron is a good guy at Fort Wayne. You know, and Lake Elsner, kind of an underrated player, is Ryan Miller. But I think in order to just kind of pop out of top five, I'd have to kind of sit down and think about that a little more to give you a better answer.
Well, yep. let me ask you about another, you know, lower level guy right now that's in the news because of a recent promotion. And we're talking to John Conniff of Mad Friars. He's on the Cholula hotline, travels around, checks out the Padres minor league system. Nick Torres, outfielder, young guy, drafted last year, really doing a nice job in Fort Wayne and recently promoted to high A Elsinore.
Yeah, I wrote a story on him for Fox Sports, and I thought that the really interesting part about Nick was when he got drafted last year, he kind of, you know, had so-so numbers. And that kind of can help Padres fans when you're looking at some of the draft picks. There's so much going on with these guys when they kind of get drafted. Then a lot of times they got to sit and they got to wait. And then these games come really quick in the short season. And sometimes you don't really see what type of player they are. So when Nick had kind of a little bit of time off, got a chance to go to spring training, knew he was going to be in high A or low A, he put up some really solid numbers. He's a outfielder out of Cal Poly, can play both right and left field, have a good arm, you know, doesn't really have the big numbers in terms of putting the ball over the fence. Was one of the leaders in extra base hits and doubles. Yeah, players really liked him a lot. And, Francisco Morales just raved about it, you know, his leadership in the locker room and getting people going, and he's definitely someone to watch, and hopefully people can drive the 15 and see him play.
What kind of guy does he project to be? I mean, we read outfielder Nick Torres, so what kind of outfielder do you think he could be if things go well at the big league level? And I know that that's probably a couple years away at earliest.
Yeah, that's kind of a little too much, I think, to project. I mean, on the best-case scenario, he's a guy who can play right field, maybe hit about 20 home runs a year. But in order to get there, he's going to have to kind of get a little bit better recognition on pitches and know which ones he can really drive out of the park. And when I interviewed Nick, he said that's part of his game he's working on. And you know, when you talk to the development people at the Padres, they say they're always much more focused on someone learning how to hit and hit well, and then have the power come. So we'll probably have a better idea. That projection I said can come true in about a year or two from now.
Speaking of pitch recognition, what do you think of the recent, the last 12 games by Hunter Renfroe at AA?
You know, when I saw Hunter, I was on with Jesse in May, and he just looked totally lost at the plate. You know, he was working on mechanical things, and he was working on mental things, and the Padres even set him out of the lineup for a couple times for a 2- and 3-day period just to get him working on certain things. But once Hunter comes around, he's been incredible. He's got, you know, probably the most tools anybody in the system. I don't know. I think I'd like to see a little bit more sustained. He kind of did this a little bit last year, as you know, in Lake Elsinore. He kind of had a tough first month, and the numbers really came, but I kind of like to see another good month from Hunter, but, you know, there's a lot to like. He's in an amazing run right now.
Yeah, trending in the right direction, and sometimes that's all you can ask for these guys because it is so up and down at the minor league level. John Conniff travels around, checks out the Padres minor league teams, writes about them on MattFriars.com, on Twitter at MattFriars. You can also read them on FoxSportsSanDiego.com. Always good to catch up with you, man. Appreciate the time, and enjoy El Paso.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Thanks, Jesse. You guys have a good day.
You too. See you, John. That's John Conniff on the Cholula Hotline. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Take a break when we come back. How about Bill will give us his top five in the Padres system? Let him answer that question that he asked John. This is Padres Social Hour presented by United.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Back at the AMR studio, final game before the All-Star break coming up for the Padres in Arlington. We'll still be here, though. Don't worry. I got a show tomorrow at 3 o'clock prior to the Home Run Derby, or the scheduled start of the Home Run Derby. A lot of rain in the forecast for Cincinnati, so we'll see how the next couple of days goes. But we'll be on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then Thursday of next week, the one day all season where we do not do a show. It's the only day all year that Blooper gets to stay
he's
home.
He's got it X'd out.
Yeah, it's his favorite day of the year, I think. All right, so John Conniff was just on Matt Friars. We're talking minor league prospects. Who's your top five right now, this moment, July, whatever it is, in
Colin
the Padres
Ray
system?
Yeah, definitely is number one. I got Renfro still number two. Yes, early in the season he was striking out once every three times. I got him number two. I really like two kids. I'm going to put Torres right now number three.
Nick Torres, okay. Right.
I like two kids, 18-year-olds at Fort Wayne.
Rudy?
Rudy Heron. And the second baseman who is just up there from Mexico, youngest player now in the Midwest League, Luis Urias. And I happened to see them both on a side field during spring training when the rookies were first reporting. I didn't know they were as young as they were. And I was sort of impressed by the athleticism of both those kids. They are so far away, it's hard to put in the top five. But those are the guys that right now I'm really got an eye on.
All right, so we got this Futures game coming up at noon today. Colin Ray will be representing the Padres on Team USA. I think a fun exercise would be print out or take a screenshot, whatever, of the two rosters for this Futures game, the World Team and the Team USA. And on August 1st, look at it and see how many of these guys playing in this game today
are still with their team.
Are still with the same team.
I like that.
Because these are the guys
that get moved.
They get moved a lot at the trade deadline because they're sort of the upper echelon prospects, whatever level they happen to be at within a system.
Right. And these are the and that's why every scout in the world general manager is there at the Futures game because they want to see what happens with these young prospects because these might be some of the two pitchers from Toronto that they've got in the Futures game. Both of them look to be that could be moving by the July 31st.
I just think it would be a fun exercise.
I had never thought of that, but that would be fun.
We'll revisit that after the trade deadline. We'll take a look at the rosters for these two teams today and see how it goes. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. We'll step aside, come back, and wrap up this Sunday Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Last couple minutes of the show, last couple hours of Comic-Con here in San Diego. Before the show today, by the way, Blooper Seth was explaining to Bill how Tinder worked. And all I can say is I wish we would have saved that conversation for the air. Oh, that was outstanding. Let's take a look at the starting lineup for the Padres today. It is, of course, presented by United. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Yanhervis Solarte leading off at third base. Alonzo bat second. Kemp, Justin Upton. Brett Wallace will DH and bat fifth. Jerko, Venable, Middlebrooks back at shortstop. Austin Hedges catching. So a nice few days off for Derek Norris in our Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Bill, you have the first selection today. Who you got?
I'm going to go somebody and not on that panel. I love sliders and humidity.
Okay.
I'm taking Tyson Ross.
I like that. Worried at all about the restart here after the quick rain shortened outing the other night?
No, not at all. I love guys that throw hard sliders in humidity.
All right, so you're taking a sort of a meteorological approach to the head-to-head challenge today. Blooper, what about you? I almost said that word right.
Brett Wallace.
Really? You're taking the DH? The Aztec?
Yeah.
I mean the Sun Devil.
After the hit yesterday.
Okay. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Brett Wallace,
How can he be ahead in this competition?
That's a good point. We'll step aside and return tomorrow at 3 p.m. Enjoy the game.